An interview with Llewellyn Bixby Jr. at his home at 45 Dana Place, Long Beach, California. The date is January 11th, 1984, and the interviewer is Ann Andries.
Is it a little bit of all right if I refer a little bit to your letter along the way as a copy along this, and we'll take it more or less in your order? The item number one, you say, information about the Bixby family, my grandfather Llewellyn Bixby, and congratulations for spelling that right with one L. Even in the Adobe days, the picture in the front of it spells it wrong incorrectly with four L's instead of just three. Why did his, I don't know anything about him, of course. I didn't arrive until 1908, and he died in 1896, so I never met my grandparents on either my mother or father's side. There's quite a gap in there. My granddad actually married quite fairly well along in life, and he was about 61 or 62 years old when my dad was born.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was a near miss. Yeah, there. He was the youngest of three. Aunt Nan was the oldest. Ann, who married Dr. Chamberlain, Concord, Massachusetts, and Sarah, who wrote the Adobe Days. So I really can't tell you too much about him because I never was acquainted with him. I admire him greatly from what I have read about him. Why did his family move to Los Angeles? That's explained a little bit in the Adobe Days because he moved down south to handle the Flint Bixby Company partnership lands in Southern California, and the Flints stayed up at the San Juan Bautista, the San Justo Ranch up there, and the Flints took that. And after, when my granddad died in December of 96, the Bixby Land Company was formed that spring. And so just among them, the two cousins and my granddad split it up, and the Bixby interest took Southern California, and the Flint interest took the properties up around San Juan Bautista in there. And so that was it. The partnership, it started back in 51, 52, something like that, informal, and it stayed that way for all those years. I understand they had one bank account, and that's everybody, when they needed money, went into that or did it, and they ran such as the stage lines up and down the Pacific coast between Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, and San Francisco at one time, were almost all run by Flint Bixby.
And, oh, I didn't know that.
At one time, because they had one of the stage stops that is at Los Olivos,
uh-huh,
which is near Salvaim.
Yes.
And actually, Theodore Chamberlain Jr., who is my Aunt Nan's oldest son, bought the Rancho Los Potreros, about 5,500 acres, which runs up the valley from Los Olivos. The ranch is still intact, but divided up among the kids. And Willie Chamberlain, his son, his oldest son, is managing it. Teddy died about 5 years ago. But that's why he came to Southern California, was to manage the Bixby interest down here. And then he just took over the Southern California. The Flints took over. There's just one of these very informal operations.
So the Flints never really operated here to any extent.
Oh, yes. Well, while he was here, of course, Flint Bixby and Company bought the Rancho Los Cerritos.
Yes.
And actually ran it and managed it for a while. And then the younger brother, Jotham, was hired to handle of Los Cerritos. And actually, he ended up owning most of the Rancho Los Cerritos properties that were Flint Bixby and Company. And actually, when the Bixby Land Company was formed, the Jotham Bixby branch of the family had about a half interest in the Bixby Land Company, which is, of course, still operating today. But they were very active in here. Flint Bixby and Company at one time were major partners in the Irvine Ranch.
I've seen the name Irvine, and I wondered, mm-hmm, what the connection was.
There's a history of the Irvine Ranch. It's quite a tome. I don't have a copy of it, but it relates the fact that Flint Bixby and Company, and my grandfather, of course, in that, were very interested. And he was also interested in the Rancho Los Alamitos,
mm-hmm,
which was divided up on the death of John Bixby along the way. And actually, what was done in that particular case was about a quarter of it went into the Alamitos Beach town site. That was everything from Alamitos Avenue up over Signal Hill and down to Alamitos Bay was put into the Alamitos Land Company. Mm-hmm. And the ownership in the Alamitos Land Company was divided between the Bixby Land Company people, which was basically Jotham and Llewellyn, and the John Bixby group, which Fred H. Bixby, and the Hellmans from San Francisco who came in. So the remaining portion of the 27,000 acres was split up between those three and about 6 or 7,000 acres from Alamitos Avenue out to Alamitos Bay, as I say, went into the Alamitos Land Company. And the map of that, there is a copy of the original map, 1888.
Yes.
That was the year Alamitos was incorporated, and this was the old line between Rancho Los Cerritos and Rancho Los Alamitos, this end of it. However, this went up here quite a ways up and then out clear to the around the Orange County line, or over into Orange County, actually, and had about 28,000 acres in that. But this came out of it in 88 after that Bixby Land Company, or my granddad and Jotham, took over and later formed the Bixby Land Company of the northerly section of it, comprising about 6,000 acres. The Fred Bixby, the John Bixby group, Fred and Susanna Bixby, by that time or later on, had the middle section going clear over to the where it joined Rancho Las Bolsas. And the Hellmans had the southerly end of it, which is back to Seal Beach and then clear over to that ranch line. That was the way they divided it up. And Fred and Susanna, that later formed the Fred formed the Fred H. Bixby Ranch Company, they divided up their ranch, their inheritance, down from John Bixby, between the two of them and split that up in half. But the Bixby Land Company, which still owns properties in here, the traffic circle, this is Signal Hill, and right about there is the top of Signal Hill. This is this is Independencia, which right up here doesn't show. That's Independencia, which is now Cherry Avenue, comes right up over here. This is actually Alamitos Avenue, and they intersect right about on here on the hip of the west side of Signal Hill at this point in here. But that's what how the Alamitos Land Company was formed. And John Bixby started this in, I think, 1885 or 6, and he was the one that originally had the concept of the Alamitos Land Company and subdividing, because the American Colony Tract and quite a bit of things had been going on down in this part of town, which was Rancho Los Cerritos. And so this was complementary to it. We'll show later on, this is land of Alamitos Water Company. Now that's Recreation Park in there, which was sold by the Alamitos Land Company in 22 or 23 to the city of Long Beach. This is the Los Angeles and Ocean Railway, which was projected to come from Los Angeles down and make Alamitos Bay actually the harbor for Los Angeles County. It never really got off the ground because in 88 they had a panic, if you remember, in a major depression. The only evidence I ever saw of it was right along up in here where the community hospital is.
Yes.
Down below that towards the traffic circle, there was part of the grade that the grading that they had done over the hip of the hill there to bring this down, but that was in the 1880s, something like that. And this never flew, though this actually shows it on the map in 88 because it was planned at that time.
Was that the Huntington interest, that railroad?
No. I don't know who was behind it. No, the Huntington came in with the Pacific Electric.
Yeah.
And I can tell you quite a bit about that later on and how it took off down through Long Beach. But you asked about the different companies.
Yes, I did.
At this time. And why don't we leave that open, because it'll sort of come into play along the way. This is the Alamitos Land Company story. Mm-hmm. And two or three back is the Bixby Land Company, and a little farther back is the Bixby Ranch Company. And if you sort of weave those things into this, well, it gives you a pretty good picture. Daughter Jean and I very carefully monitored what that says and what the Bixby Land Company's article says, because there's so much misunderstanding.
Yes, we've encountered that. It's not always
no wonder the Bill-Benny relationships are so intertwined and difficult.
Well, what really happened and what confuses everybody is there were five Hathaway sisters who came from Norwich Walk, Maine, around there, the same where the Bixby, all the Bixby boys came, and there were eight Bixby brothers, of which my granddad Llewellyn was the oldest, and Jotham was the youngest. And my granddad married one Hathaway girl, who died rather soon after that, married a second Hathaway girl, who was the mother of my dad and Mrs. Chamberlain and Mrs. Smith, and she died when my dad was about 5-6 years old. And there was a third Hathaway sister, who Martha, he wanted to marry, but she would never take on, but she did come and live with him as a housekeeper, and Martha Nicholas Hathaway was the one that really raised the three kids. Now, that was at the Hill Street address on this letter that you showed me where they lived. Another sister married Jotham Bixby. That was Margaret. And I remember Jotham and Aunt Margaret, as we called it, when they lived down on Ocean Avenue right at the cross from the park on the bluff at the foot of Junipero. Everybody calls it Junipero, but it's Junipero Avenue. There, the fifth one married John Bixby, who was a first cousin. And that's the derivation that came down through Fred Bixby.
Yes.
So, you see, here we have the situation where my father and Fred Bixby were not first cousins, but they were first cousins on one side, and the lineage was a 75% blood relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because their fathers were cousins and their mothers were sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is it. Then there was Jotham, who were actually double cousins in there, because in that family, the mothers were sisters and the fathers were brothers. Now, does that simplify?
Yes.
Anyway, that's why there's been quite a bit of sort of wonderment along the way. I think I've covered your one in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I say the Dobadays has quite a bit of information on that, and also that is this little booklet from Stephen. Your father, Llewellyn Bixby, and your mother, Avis Bixby, what were your father's business activities? Why did your parents move to Long Beach in 1905, and where did they live? The reason they moved in Long Beach in 1905 is, well, my dad graduated, and mother were college classmates at Pomona College and graduated in 1901. Then he went back to MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where he took a 2-year course and graduated with a degree in civil engineering, which he never really practiced because about that time things were busy here, and George H. Bixby, who was Jotham's oldest son, was really sort of running the Bixby Land Company and Alamedas at that particular time, and they wanted my dad back in the business. So they moved back here. I don't know when it was. I thought it was either 1903 or 1904. He never really practiced as a civil engineer, though he used it quite a bit in the different operations of the company when there was some. Many years later, I was his rod man for a while.
What is a rod man?
I'm the guy that held a stick that went way out ahead. And he followed along behind with his transit on a tripod. But he bought a house at the northwest corner, of Gaviota and Ocean about 1905. And that was then 1465 East Ocean Avenue. That was a house that was added on to a 1913, and the family lived there until the spring of 1931 when we moved into the adobe out of Rancho Los Olivos, which my dad had spent the last couple of years remodeling out there, and it later became known as 1635. It changed the numbers. It doesn't matter. It was the northeast corner, or northwest corner of Ocean and Gaviota. There's a four-story over garage apartment complex on that now. But that's where I grew up, and that's where my sister grew up, and we went to Carroll Park Grammar School over at 4th and Junipero. And then both went to Long Beach Poly High. Actually, there was no other high school in town at the time both she and I went to high school. And Wilson opened in the spring of 1926. I graduated from Poly High in 26. Betty, when she started in high school, went as a freshman to Poly High, and then in the middle of the year she went in with the first class at Wilson High School because she lived out in the east end of town.
Hit all the schools when they were brand new, except for Carroll Park and Horace Mann.
Well,
Jefferson was new, you know.
Yeah.
Your eyes were just coming in.
You went to Horace Mann Grammar School out in the,
yeah,
the east
then
end.
But then I went to Wilson. It was
Mann. That is sort of the why that they moved down here. There's an interval in there. After my dad graduated, how am I doing?
Fine.
After my dad graduated from MIT, that I don't exactly know, I think they went back to Claremont and rented a house in Claremont for a year or so.
Before were they married when he went back to MIT?
Yes, they were married right after they got out of college in 1901. And so my mother went back to Boston with him and lived back there while he was going to MIT. So that's sort of the reason that they moved back here, because all his roots were in California.
Yes.
And they needed some family help along the way. As I say, George H. Bixby was really the managing, the oldest son of Jotham, was really the managing operator of both the Bixby Land Company and the Alamedas. And at the same time, in 1905, the Jotham incorporated his individual holdings, put all his interest in the Jotham Bixby Company,
mm-hmm,
which went on, and it's another story. You'll find out in that little booklet by Steve when it was finally dissolved, and the information behind that. The stockholders decided they didn't want to operate the Jotham Bixby Company. It had a shopping center out of Bixby Knolls and some other things.
Mm-hmm.
But they all had offices then at 22 Pacific. That's the northeast corner of Pacific Avenue and Ocean Boulevard. The Jotham Bixby Company had, or Jotham Bixby had built the hotel on the corner there, known later on as the Kennebec Hotel. That building in there was the Jotham Bixby Company development, and our offices were at 22 Pacific, which was the alley north of Ocean Boulevard. And my first memories of all of them, Jotham and George H. And the rest of them, was a kid swinging on the head, little segregated areas about waist high, and I could swing on the gate. My dad had a big roll-top desk, and over in the corner, a high stool, and the bookkeeper had great big ledgers, then a slap, like so, and dipped his pen in an inkwell and did all the hand entries of the bookkeeping there at 22 Pacific. It's a little junk food outfit is in there now. I rather have a hunch that it's going to be torn down because it's in this urban renewal district. Okay. To myself, Wallen Bixby Jr., or is it the third?
That confuses me.
All right. I think I can straighten you out on that. My granddad spelled his name with three L's.
Yes.
My dad was Llewellyn Bixby Jr. originally. When my granddad died, he changed, dropped the junior and changed the spelling to the Welsh, true Welsh spelling, which is four L's. And then he dropped the junior. When I came along, he named me Llewellyn Bixby Jr., and you're correct. I'm number three in the lineage as we come down for it. Our son, we went back to the Roman numerals on it, and he was Llewellyn Bixby IV, which really, as far as the name is concerned, I'm number three. My dad was number two. I'm number three, and our son was number four. So when his kids came along, we decided that this had gone far enough. All of us, we had a little family council, and so the Llewellyn went into the middle name of his oldest son, Mark Mark Llewellyn Bixby, who now, what is he, 17? He's a senior.
18 years,
yeah. He's a senior in Wilson High School at this time, but he would have been number five. We said the fifth. That sounded too much like a fifth or Henry the Fifth or something. Time to sort of cut it off.
He might have gotten a lot of teasing about that.
Oh, yourself, Llewellyn Bixby Jr., what are your memories of growing up in Long Beach? What changes have you observed in the city over the years? Where did you attend school and college? I covered that. How did I become involved in the Bixby Cummings? Well, let's, I don't know what order to take it in, because I became involved, maybe I sort of bring that up to date, in the companies. My dad had a heart attack in February of 1942. I had not been working with the companies because my dad was very nervous. Some of the other relatives had been brought in and there had been some problems. So I was sort of on my own. I graduated from college. I was all entered in Harvard Business School.
Mm-hmm.
Two other kids and I, 1930 June, when we graduated from college, busted off and went on a trip around the world. And when we came back in through New York, we went up to Massachusetts to see Aunt Nan and be interviewed by the dean back at Harvard Business. And when I got back to Long Beach, I found out what straits the family were in, because the Depression had hit us really an awful blow, because we were land poor. We had the Bixby Land Company had 4,500 acres that ran all the way from Signal Hill over to town of Los Alamitos, and nothing much to grow on it, and no way of doing anything except paying taxes,
mm-hmm.
really. And the taxes went on, and things went on. So when my dad had his heart attack in February, he Amelia Bixby, who was George H.'s widow,
mm-hmm.
and had incorporated his holdings and their holdings in the Amelia Bixby Company, was in the offices down there. And when my dad had the heart attack, I had known her quite well, admired her very much, and I had worked. A long story, which I won't go into, but in the end of the 30s, I got a broker's license and was in real estate business and had an office out on then American Avenue on Long Beach Boulevard out in Los Cerritos area. And Amelia called me up and said, Llewellyn, you'd come down and go to work. Get out of what you're doing. She didn't ask me if I would. She just told me so. When my dad was still alive after he'd had his heart attack, she just sort of grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, said, you go to work for the companies. So that's how I happened to do it. At that time, we had all the three of our kids. Barbara was just the oldest, the youngest was just slightly born. We were married in 34. We were married in 34. Bix arrived in 30. Well, Llewellyn IV arrived in 35. Jean, who is now in the office,
yes,
down the company, was 38. And Barbara was in 41. So when in 42, he died very shortly. He only lasted about 10 days or so after his heart attack. Those days, they didn't have all the helps that they have now. And the well-known doctor around town, his very best friend, A.C. Celery, did everything he could. But so he lost him, I think it was the 26th of February. So that's when I came to work, and I was just put to work and told to forget what I was doing. So the fellow Art Wilson and I had an office out on Long Beach Boulevard, and so we worked it out and dissolved that arrangement. He went over in the shipyards there, his managing job over there, and I stayed around here. I was never grafted during the war because I had a sort of a family wrapped around my neck and three kids to support and a lot of relatives.
Your
at 45.
Alive,
oh, yes,
you?
Yes. She lived till. When did she die?
Oh, I can't remember.
1959.
Yeah. 59. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got it?
Oh,
okay.
I
think that is about right. She lived out at the old rancho for a good many years until help became real hard to handle out there. Then we closed it up for a while and made the deal with the city of Long Beach, and she moved down to the Villa Riviera for the last, she was, what, 81 years old, I guess, when she died. So she, my dad was 61. She lived, well, that,
20 years.
She was a little older. She was two or three years older. Well, 59 would be just about right of when she died. I don't have that. Now, where was I?
I'm sorry, Andrew, it was during the war, when you weren't drafted.
What are some of your community? Why don't... I think my community activities have been Red Cross and various other things down here. Remember Kiwanis, and you covered the yacht club situation. I've been involved in sailing for years when we moved down here. Betty and I grew up on the water, and all our kids, I was working with the Jotham Bixby Company, subdividing Bixby Knolls at shortly after I was down in the office. But we had our names on several lots out in Bixby Knolls just to make it look good on the sales chart on the wall. But we came down and we bought this lot here because we wanted to be on the bay. We've always been water oriented.
Where were you living before you bought the lot? Why did you bought the lot?
We first, after we were married, rented and then bought a little place down Belmont Shore. And lived there for a couple of years. And after Bix was starting to wander around, the streets were so narrow, we got nervous. So we bought a place up in Belmont Park at Vista and Lakeview Avenue, just a block from Lowell's school, and also Junior Will Rogers Junior High School. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was a brand new tract, sort of a tract house on the corner with four bedrooms, two baths, and living room, dining room complex, and just a block from school. And that's where we lived until 48 when we moved. It was tremendous.
Well, this was really depression. I don't know how we ever did it.
I don't know either.
Been vacant for a long time.
So that's where we lived, and then we built here in 48. Built this house in 1948, moved down here. So that's a quick track on where I lived from when I came back in 1931. After deciding not to go to Harvard, while I lived out at the Adobe, when we moved in there in the spring of 31, I moved in out there, and I lived there with my folks until such time as she came along and took me out of that. And we started out on our, branched out on our own. We looked at 30-some-odd apartments for rent in 1930. Four in the Belmont Shore area down there, and we finally picked a fancy one, pretty good upstairs with two bedrooms, a living room, dining room, kitchenette, two bath operation, $37.50 a month. And we thought we were really spreading it.
Yeah, that's yeah. We could hang up the laundry, and of course, in those days, you had to put everything out on the line. So.
But that's still there, 169 Pomona. Looks pretty cute.
In December, I interviewed Kenneth Wing, and I understand he designed this house.
That's right.
And he also worked on the restoration of Rancho Los Cerritos. Mm.
So?
No.
Didn't he?
No, we had another architect on there.
I see. I understood that he worked on that.
The contractor on that was C.T. McGrew and Sons, but Charlie McGrew, the dad, was dead at that time, and I've forgotten. I think it was Milt McGrew was the one that actually was on that. And George Barnard, their old superintendent, was the guy that sat on it. Of course, that when he got into that house, that was a different story because it cost about four times as much as anybody thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Depression days, and that was another reason when I came back and found out how deep my dad was buried in the restoration of that I said, well, there's no use my sponging off him going to college anymore. I'll get out from under and start going to work. And that time I took over a thing called the Rainbow Pier Garage at First and American, north east corner of First and American, where the Edison Company building. We had about a quarter of a block, ran a garage down there. When we were married, I was there. We had no front door or... We never could close it open. It was open 4th of July, Christmas Day, all day and all night, and that's what we started our married life on. Okay, that's enough. My community activities have been Red Cross, principally. Worked with United Way quite a bit along the way. Never went through the chairs or anything. I did end up as being chapter chairman of the Red Cross. Kiwanis. I've been a member of that for, pretty close to 50 years. And the yacht club and various other things we've been involved in.
Is there any reason that you chose to be a member of Kiwanis Rotary?
Well, that was back in the 30s, and the gang that I sort of kind of liked, and Kiwanis was a little bit younger, and so they wooed me a little bit, and so I joined Kiwanis, and we had a real fine bunch of fellas in those days, and they still have, but they were a little more, the Rotary was a little stuffier. Back in the 30s, and the Kiwanis was younger. I think they started in 27 or 28, and Rotary started back in around 1915 or 16. My dad was a Rotarian for 3 or 4 years. They used to meet down at the old Virginia Hotel. I know I went down, he hauled me down as a kid to a Rotary meeting or two down there when the Virginia Hotel was still on. For some reason or other, he just wasn't a Rotary Club man, and so he resigned after a few years. But I got in with Kiwanis and liked the bunch. They were very active at that.